The Old Testament reading is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to gather stones and a time to gather them, to scatter them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart. Yet no one can fathom what God has done from the beginning to end. The New Testament reading is Luke chapter 10, starting at verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Amen.
Thanks, Catherine. Let us pray together. Eternal God, as we have heard from your word, and as we now consider it, grant us the help of your Spirit in our understanding, and as we apply your word to our very lives, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. For these last 3 months or so, time has taken on a very different meaning. For some of us, there has been boredom, and time has dragged really slowly. For others, things have actually been probably busier and, in fact, more hectic with work as we've adapted and adjusted and maybe done work at home rather than in our workplace. And so time has actually probably gone very quickly for us, and we haven't felt like it's been a boring 3 months. With everybody anyway, with restrictions that have been in place, we've had to slow down somewhat. The rhythm of life has been very, very different, hasn't it? And maybe that has allowed us to celebrate time in somewhat of a different way. Now, I like to be busy and active and on the go, and these last 3 months have forced me to spend my time in something of a different way. And I think one of the things that we do well, that I do well to learn from this time in the history of the human race, is that time is precious and that we should use it well. Now, all of us have various activities which take our time, whether it's job related, family related, church related, leisure related, whatever. And for many of us, pre-COVID-19, time was nothing but an enemy. We wanted time to slow down so we could get all the jobs done that we needed to get done. And as now restrictions begin to ease and lift, and as we get back to what some may wish to call normal, whatever that's going to look like, the question that I want to ask is, how will we use our time in the future? Will we go back to rushing around and seeing time as an enemy, that there's not enough hours in the day kind of idea? Or will we seek to use our time in a better rhythm? For one, I don't want us to go back to the chaotic panic that there was of the busyness of life. Now, things need to be done. Work needs to be done. There will be work commitments leveled at many of us. But I really don't want to go back to the chaotic lifestyle that there was for many of us. Part of a healthier rhythm is, of course, to observe Sabbath. We looked at Sabbath in our joint Bible study with the East Belfast Methodist Churches a couple of weeks ago. I led that Bible study. And rather than thinking of Sabbath as something in a legalistic kind of way of what we do or don't do on a Sunday, we need to understand Sabbath as resting in God's presence, to press that reset button on a weekly basis, to celebrate time in a different way. Now, we're moving into holiday time. It's coming into July now, and obviously things are a bit different this year. People aren't getting their holidays in the way that they were expecting. But hopefully you can get some time off and have some physical rest for your bodies and spend some time with loved ones. But of course, Sabbath is very much about spiritual rest, and we need to hold that as we also enjoy some physical rest with holiday time. We often talk about four seasons, and in Northern Ireland it's often four seasons in one day when it comes to weather conditions, isn't it? But throughout our lives there are, of course, seasons, times in our lives when we experience different aspects of life. But as a society, together we are experiencing a new season, a new time. Life will never be the same as it was before. There will be changes as to how we do things and how we use our time. The Bible reminds us that time is a gift of God, and therefore we must use that gift wisely and well. To help us consider the issue of time, let me take you to the parable of the Good Samaritan. It may seem like a strange parable to reflect on, but stick with me in this. The teacher of the law, we know this story well, of course, the teacher of the law asks Jesus a question, and Jesus responds with what we regard as the parable, the story of the Good Samaritan. But what was the question? He asked, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, when we read that, we naturally think that he's asking a question about heaven, about the afterlife. But actually, Jews didn't give too much thought to the afterlife. Yes, they believed in the resurrection of the dead, but they didn't give too much thought for what happens in the afterlife. The question really probably is focused on the here and now. In other words, he's asking, how do I use my time on earth well? What does it look like to use time according to God's ways? Now, of course, Jesus responds with the story of the Good Samaritan, and obviously communicates that it is care and compassion to those who need it. That is how we use our time well. And of course, the punchline in the story is that it was someone who was an outsider. It was a Samaritan. Jews hated Samaritans, and it was the Samaritan man who gave that care and compassion to the injured individual. But this man lived life to the full because he offered care and compassion. And so if we're going to inherit this eternal life of which Jesus spoke, it will involve us loving God and loving others, especially those who are in need. That is to fulfill the law. That is to fulfill life. There are values that we have as a church, as God's people, but there are things that we will do as individuals as well. And when we think about using our time well, it's important for each of us to think about the priorities that we have in our own lives. I've told this illustration before, but it's worth repeating. There was once a teacher teaching his class about using time well, and he placed a large clear jar in front of the group. And he put 7 or 8 large rocks into the jar until it was full, and he asked the class, "Is the jar full?" Everybody nodded, yes, it was full. Then he took some smaller pebbles and he put the pebbles into the jar until it came up to the rim. "Is the glass jar now full?" "Oh yes, it's definitely full now," the class said. Then he took some sand and he put some sand into the glass jar until it came up to the rim. "Is the jar now full?" Well, the class kind of nodded, but they were suspicious at this stage. Then he took a pitcher of water and he put the water in and it filled up to the rim. "Is the glass jar now full?" And then he asked the class, "What is the lesson here?" Someone put their hand up and said, "No matter how busy you are, you can always fit more things into your schedule." And the teacher of the class said, "Wrong. The lesson is, unless you put the big rocks in first, they will never fit in. You must figure out what the big rocks are for you." So what are the big rocks in your life? What are the priorities of how you will use your time? Can I encourage you, if you don't know yet already, identify those big rocks in your life, those things that you want to have priority, that you want to spend your time doing, or the people you want to spend time with. Because if you don't put those big rocks in first, the other things will take the space. Now, I'd humbly suggest that spending time with God and with people should always be those big rocks, and the pebbles and sand should be work and other things. I don't need to point out that for many of us, we end up putting the pebbles and sand in first, and then there's no rock and there's no space for the big rocks. So be proactive in managing your choices. There will be many conflicting interests and demands fighting for the same 24-hour period you have. So you need to put your big rocks in first. Many people go through life assuming that they will live to a ripe old age, and many do. And we measure time, we celebrate time with birthdays and anniversaries. And it's my dad's birthday on Monday, so happy birthday, Dad. I won't tell you his age, but 86 is a nice number, isn't it? That's me told off now. But Psalm 90, verse 12 reminds us, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom." Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. Every day is a gift from God, and every day is so precious to us, and so we need to treasure it and plan to use it wisely. A.W. Tozer, a Christian writer from a previous generation, once wrote, "Time is a resource that is non-renewable and non-transferable. You cannot store it, slow it up, hold it up, divide it up, or give it up. You can't hoard it up or save it for a rainy day. When it's lost, it's uncoverable. When you kill time, remember that it has no resurrection." A couple of weeks ago, it was the 10th anniversary of my father-in-law's death. And time is strange when it comes to such anniversaries. 10 years seems a long time in some ways and an incredibly short time in other ways. But I was thinking back to Richard's funeral, and there were 3 tributes given that day. One tribute was given by my brother-in-law, Kenneth. And at the end of that tribute, he closed with a poem, which I'm going to use in closing. It's called The Dash Poem, and it's written by Linda Ellis. Some of you will have heard this before because I've used it at funerals sometimes in church. It's a very, very helpful poem, and so I'm going to close with this. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth. He spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who loved her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know much how time is left. That can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger, and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect, and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? God has given us the gift of time. May we all be careful how we live, especially as we then begin to emerge into this post-COVID-19 world, whatever that will look like for us. And may we make the most of every opportunity that each day brings. Amen.